Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. We exalt you, we magnify you. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. And we're going to do our best to expound verses 7 through 12. 7 through 12. So, let us get our screen prepared right now. And we can begin right now. I've entitled this evening's message, Make Your Call and Election Sure. Once again, make your call and election sure. So, if you have your Bibles, let's go. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. This is going to be an expository teaching. It's book by book, chapter by chapter, line by line, precept upon precept. Amen. And here we go, starting with verse 7. And it reads, To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Wow. Let's move on to verse 10 and 11. And it reads, Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And verse 12, For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth. Praise God, praise God. So, let's go back to verse 7 and let's break this down. To godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Love. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, if godliness includes right attitudes toward others, then godliness should lead to love for other Christians. Amen? In non-Christian circles, this word referred to affection between family members applies. But Peter extended its meaning in this letter to include the family of believers. It is especially intense love that considers others as brothers and sisters. Praise God, praise God. I found this one particular scripture. It was earlier on. Look at this. In 1 Peter 1:22 in chapter 1. Since you have purified your souls and obeying the truth, that's the key, through the spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with what? A pure heart. A pure heart. Saints, before we go to the next scripture that I found, this is what God has called us, that we would operate in a pure, holy, sincere heart, especially when we entreat others. We cannot be like the old man. The old man, we would be like a roller coaster of emotions. You know, I'll say praise the Lord and love you in the morning and then end up hating you in the evening. No, we need to have pure faith, pure sincerity, pure love toward one another. Why? Because that's what Jesus demonstrated to us. You see, he was the epitome of love and purity and kindness and wholeness and wellness. Jesus portrayed what you and I should want to always walk in every day of life. Is through his love. He loved us unconditionally. He portrayed someone of a loving character who nurtured us, who came to serve us. Look what I found in the book of Hebrews right up here. Let's go up here for a minute. In Hebrews 10:24, let us consider one another in order to stir up what? Love and good works. You see, saints, showing love for other believers should translate into genuine love for everyone. Now, while Christians must exhibit love for other believers, their love must also go deeper than mere affection. Can I get an amen? That affection, saints of God, should grow into the kind of love that always puts others first, praise God, seeking their highest good. You see, my friends, the Greek word agape refers to self-sacrificial love. And that's what God is looking that we would operate in. You see, it's the kind of love God demonstrated in saving you and I. And such love among believers, saints of God, allows for weaknesses and imperfections and deals with our deepest problems. That's right. Many of us have deep problems. Can I get amen? And affirms others and has a strong commitment and loyalty. Look what I found in the book of Ephesians. Look at this for a moment. In Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness, this is the key for us, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as what? God in Christ forgave you. That is the key component. Saints of God, that is so key, is to forgive others when they offend you, when they backbite you, when they mock you, when they ridicule you, when they persecute you, when they cheat on you, when they hate on you. We are to do the opposite. We are to forgive them just like Jesus forgave us. Do you recall when Jesus was on the cross? What was the words that came out of his mouth? He said this to the world, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Saints of God, there are going to be times where people will offend you. They will do the things that I just mentioned, and they don't do it with the right heart or the right conscience. Some of them do it out of anger and spite, not realizing they just hurt you. And I get it. I've been slandered on before. I've been cheated on before. All these things that we just mentioned right now has happened to me. But I'm learning, saints of God. I'm trying to do it the way Jesus would handle it. And the first thing he mentions here is to be kind-hearted and to forgive one another quickly. Look what else I found right up here in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 and 8. Let's look at this. Love suffers long and is what? Kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely. Does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil, praise God. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, praise God. Verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And look at that, love never fails. Say that with me at home, saints of God. Love never fails. You see, my friends, such a bond will hold the believers together no matter what persecution and suffering they may face. Praise God. So let's move on now to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's the key. Knowledge, knowledge. We need knowledge. We need wisdom. We need understanding of the word. Here's the thing, if you're not in Bible study, if you're not studying your word, if you're not in church on Sunday mornings learning and growing, you're never going to know what Jesus Christ is all about, and you never know what he expects us to become, to be transformed, to be translated into his Son of Light, that we would bind and rebuke the darkness to ever come back into our lives. Can I get an amen in the house? You see, saints, the eight qualities mentioned in last week's teaching and this week's about kind, patient, humility, meekness, goodness, all the things like the fruit of the Spirit, all the qualities mentioned above are to be part of every believer's life. And they should never be static. Can I get amen? We must demonstrate it every day. We must show the love of God. We must be the Christ before them. Why? Because, listen, how many times have you ever invited friends and family members to come to church, to come to a Bible study? And they'll say, yeah, maybe next week. I'll see you Sunday. And they never show up. So here's the key for you and I, saints. You and I, hallelujah, need to walk uprightly before them, because the only Jesus they're ever going to read is your life. The Jesus that lives inside us. That's the only Jesus they're ever going to see. So we must walk in truth and love and kindness and meekness. And especially when we go through trials, unbelievers are going to look and examine our life, how we're going to handle it. Oh, that's right. Listen, they even watch us do the little dumb things in life, like stub our toe against a coffee table. They're looking to see if we're going to curse. Oh, that's right. And how many have you done that in the private? And you jammed your toe, and it's like, ah! Have some of you held back? For me, I'm thankful to God. He's deleted that vocabulary. So I'll yell out peanut butter or something. That's right. Look what I found here. It's going to be a little further down in the teaching, but I thought it appropriate for this Bible study tonight. Look at this in 2 Peter 3:18. But grow, say that with me at home, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him, to who? To Jesus be the glory both now and forever. Amen and amen. Praise God. Look what else I found in Colossians 1:9-11. Look at this. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be what? Filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Are you catching that, saints? That you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully what? Pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Praise God. Praise God. Saints of God, I don't know if you can hear in the background. It sounds like helicopters. We need to be praying, because I've been seeing military, not local, but military helicopters and jets flying by. Something's going on, and we need to pray. We need to pray, and we need to pray. Can I get amen? Praise God. Praise God. Now, saints, let me just say this. Believers don't merely have these qualities that we're speaking about this evening. Instead, they grow in these qualities, practicing them in rough and tumble and turmoils and many afflictions and tribulations that a believer can go through. The ones that are affected the most are the brand new believers. Why? Because they don't know God's word yet. And this is why we need to help them and strengthen them, encourage them, because they're just on milk. They're just drinking baby milk. They haven't been down the road long enough to take in the meat. So pray for them, because Satan comes to try to steal them out of the church, especially when they just give their heart to Christ. They'll bring the opposite sex. Yeah, they'll bring someone in their life to distract their love for God and focus it on something different. Pray for them, saints of God. Look what else that I found right here. Look, in 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture, say that with me. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine, meaning teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, as these characters increase, they help believers become productive and useful in their knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith must go beyond what we believe. Can I get an amen? It must become a dynamic part of all that we do in life, resulting in good fruit and spiritual maturity, my friends. We must adhere and make sure that our call and election is sure. Let's move on now to verse 9 of 2 Peter chapter 1. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from what? His old sins. As you can hear, more and more helicopters, military in the background. You can hear them. Something's going on, saints. Pray, pray, pray. That's all I can say right now is pray, pray, and pray. We'll talk about that on another day and another time, what I think is happening. And so, saints, let's read verse 9 once again. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was what? Cleansed from his old sins. Wow. You see, saints, in contrast to believers who are increasing in the positive qualities, Peter mentioned those things that we just read above. Believers who fail to develop these virtues, who are not growing in these qualities, are blind or at least very short-sighted. Saints of God, if you've been cleansed from your old sins, if he has delivered you from ways of that we once walked in iniquity, we must adhere to the truth now. We must walk in the ways of the Lord. We must shake off those old things. The Bible says the dead man is gone away. We're walking in the newness of life. Oh, that's right. How many are so blessed at home to know that you're walking in the newness of life, which was given by the Lord Jesus Christ? So let's walk in His ways. Let's continue to bless this dying world. They need to see a difference. They need to see you and I walking in love, walking in the purity of heart, and what? And let them see Christ. Hallelujah. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords that's in us, working through us. Praise God. You see, Peter, he had harsh words, saints of God, for believers who refuse to grow. The word for short-sighted can mean to blink or to even shut their eyes. Wow. Wow, my friends. Look what it says right here. I found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. Therefore, brethren, look at this. Stand fast and hold the traditions what you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Whatever we read, saints of God, apply it to your life. Can I get an amen? King David understood this too. Look at this in Psalm 77. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of world. Look at this, of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Praise God. Praise God. That's what he was all about. You see, Peter may also have meant that these believers were intentionally closing their eyes to Christ's light, thus causing spiritual blindness. Let it never be mentioned of us, oh God. Let it never be mentioned that you and I will close our eyes to truth. Look what else I found in Ecclesiastes 12 and 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come, and the years, look at this, draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Wow. Wow. You know what? This is a prophetic scripture of what Jesus said that would happen in the times that we live in. That there would be an apostasy. You know what apostasy means? People leaving the faith. People no longer attending church. People no longer praying. People no longer in Bible study. The culture of this world has blinded them, has lured them back in, has did something to them that they left Christ and now are pursuing the world once again. Saints, let it never be mentioned of us that we would go back. The Bible says it's like going back to your old vomit. Help us, Jesus. Cleanse our mind. Cleanse our heart. I'm going to stop and pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, those who are watching right now, help us, oh God. Cleanse us. Wash us. Purify our hearts, oh God, by the blood of the Lamb. Lord, let us always be on fire for you. And let us always be mindful that the enemy's at work, but you're greater than the enemy. and you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Help us now, God. Help us, Lord, endure this race all the way to the end. Praise God. You see, Peter went on to say, saints, that they have forgotten that God has cleansed them from their old life of sin and pictures those who deliberately put out of their mind the things that once entangled them. Look at this for a moment. Remember now. Can I get an amen? Remember now. Praise God. Your Creator in the days of your youth. This is what God is saying. Remember. Remember these things. Never forget. You see, some have deliberately put out of their mind all that Christ had done in erasing the sins that were committed before we were saved. Did you know that God cleansed us from our past sins, our present sins, and our future sins? This is what He's done for us. How can we have a mind that Peter's addressing this evening to those back then and to those today? How one can just leave and walk away and be short-sighted of the things of God. Wow. You see, my friends, a believer who is forgetful of this and refuses to grow becomes unfruitful in the things of the Lord. Wow. So let's move on now to verse 10 and 2 Peter chapter 1. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. Did you catch that, my friends? This is where I got our topic tonight. Make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will what? Never stumble. It's fail-proof if you honor God, if you do the things that God has called us to do. You see, believers must work hard to prove that they really are among those God has called and chosen. That's right. Look what I found here. This is the key. You know, there's a lot of people in many churches, many denominations, you know, around the world. But Jesus cut through the chase. He drew a line. He said, basically, there's going to be religions throughout His day, the future days, and even our present day. There are going to be all kinds of different types of denominations and religions. But what He did, He cut through the chase with a religious leader named Nicodemus. I call Nicodemus Nick at night because he snuck out at night to go talk to Jesus. Let's look at this quick dialogue right now so that you could understand what I'm conveying right now regarding this very critical issue that's in the church. God makes a distinction who are His and who are not His. Let's go there right now. Look at this. In John 3, 1 through 7, look at this. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Now, this is where Jesus just cut through the chase. He could have had a cup of tea with him. But look what He says. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 4. This is how Nicodemus, this teacher, this ruler of the Jews, look how he responds. He says, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Did you catch that? He thought that an adult had to crawl back up through his mother's canal and come out again. Nonsense, isn't that? But he didn't know spiritual things. He didn't know about the heavenly birth that would come from above. Look what Jesus answered and said. Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit. Catch that Spirit. Capital S. That means Holy Spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be what? born again. There it is. That's what distinguishes the born-again church and all the religions of the world. And even the denominations around the world, in the Christian denominations, there's some that have never been born again. They've either been raised in church, they were raised in Sunday school, their parents went, so they went, or they just joined the church like someone would join a club. But they never surrendered their life. They never repented of their sins. They never cried out and said, "Oh God, I'm a sinner." They never were washed in the blood, and they were never filled with the Holy Spirit of promise to allow God to transform them from the inside out. If that's never taken place, then that person is just a religious person. No relationship with God. Look what else I found right here. Look at this. In 2 Timothy 1, 8, and 9. Look at this. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a what? A holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before what? Time began." Wow, wow. You see, saints, the believers must determine to live for God, no matter how difficult it might become, and to grow in the virtues mentioned in this Bible study. Their status as called and chosen was not in doubt because it was of God's initiative. In other words, it was imposed upon us. You see, my friends, the believers' behavior, however, would prove that call by their good qualities and good works. They were proving their call and election, not for God, but for themselves. Oh, they would know if they were saved, especially the Holy Spirit living inside them now. You see, my friends, the believers to whom Peter wrote were in danger of turning to the doctrine of false teachers who were teaching that immoral living incurred no judgment. But that's a falsehood. That is so false. These false teachers said that once people were saved, they could live any way they pleased. That's a lie. Peter countered. He countered. Aren't you so blessed that Peter countered? He countered them. And he was clear. He was clear of what he said. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed? Look, I want you to catch this verse of scripture one more time before we go to the next one. My goodness. "Therefore, do not" what? "Do not be ashamed of the testimony." Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I'm telling you, God is a good God. But look at this. "But share with me in the sufferings." Wow. The sufferings, who has saved us and called us. Praise God. Called us where? According to his own grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Wow. Wow. You see, the believers to whom Peter wrote were in danger, saints of God. Danger. What were they in danger of? In danger. Teaching that immoral living incurred no judgment. These false teachers, saints of God, that once people were saved, they could live any which way they please. Peter countered this teaching, explaining that Christians must what? Match their calling and election with holy living. If they did this, they would never stumble or fall away. Praise God. Praise God. And that goes for you and I. Look what else I found in Colossians 1:22. "In the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above all reproach in his sight." Praise God. If indeed you continue, here's the key, saints, if you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, which I, Paul, became a minister. Praise God, praise God. Look what else I found. 2 Timothy 2:12. "If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things. Charge them before the Lord. not to strive about words, to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Look at this in verse 15. Be diligent. Say that with me at home. Be diligent to present yourself approved. To who? To God. A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Praise God. Praise God. You see, saints, the word stumble means more than barely to trip. It means to come to grief or ruin, referring to the day of judgment when sin takes the unbeliever and rebel into eternal damnation. Wow. We got a couple more verses before we finish tonight. Let's go now to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Praise God, an entrance, a way into heaven. You see, my friends, those who live fruitful and productive lives for God, who do not disastrously stumble along the path to the eternal kingdom, which is heaven, will find the gates that are wide open for them. Praise God. How many are so blessed to know that? Oh, yes. All believers, say that with me at home, all believers experience a wonderful welcome into their true home, the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. What I want to hear God say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You see, my friends, those who have been called and chosen, but have been unfruitful and have stumbled much along the way, will still reach the kingdom and receive their salvation. But it will be as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, escaping through a wall of flames. Wow. 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 Look, I found this scripture right here. Look at this. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because what? Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. Now look at this. In verse 14 and 15. If anyone's work, which he has built on it, endures, he will receive a reward. But look at verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved, yet so as through the fire. Saints, I don't want to just get in with the tail of smoke behind me. I want to go into glory, knowing that I've done something for the cause of Christ, that I lived the best way I could, that when I did sin, I repented, I cried out. I said, oh God, forgive me, cleanse me, walking in a spirit of humility, never running away from the gospel. Saints, we need to be diligent. We're not going to live a perfect life. It's impossible. But we can live a life without debauchery. We can live a life by not going back like a dog would go back to its vomit. That we would press toward the prize and the call in Christ Jesus. That we would continue to move ahead. That we would walk in the ways of the Lord with a heart of humility, a heart of kindness and gentleness and pureness before mankind. Saints, whether this welcome will be any different is unknown, but Peter encouraged his readers to stay true to the faith to ensure a rich and loving welcome. Looking toward our future eternal life provides the motivation, my friends, for right living right now, right now, right now. And we must be centered on heaven's priorities, not those of the world's. You know, we live in the woke culture. Rebuke that, bind that, walk in the ways of the Lord. You see, my friends, we can face hardships and still be faithful to God. Why? Because we know the bright future He has for you and I. How wonderful it is to complete that what God wants and expects and desires from our life as He waits for time to be fulfilled. My goodness, the clock has started, my friends. We're almost there. We're almost home. And so, let's break down our last verse of scripture for the evening, found in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. And it reads, "For this reason, I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things, though you know and are established in the present truth." Praise God. In the present truth. Wow, wow. You see, saints, because of the glories awaiting the believers, Peter intended to keep on reminding them not to allow their salvation to become a license for immoral living. Praise God. Praise God. Look what I found in 2 Timothy here to help us. "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more" what? "Ungodliness." See, God gives us the tools and the equipment and the armory and our defense mechanisms found in the Word of God so that we wouldn't stumble and fall, saints of God. There is no excuse whatsoever. Look what else I found in Ephesians 6:14. "Stand," say that with me, "stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." Praise God. Praise God. King David understands truth as well. Look at this. "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So, my friends, the knowledge of the gospel without obeying it and applying it to their lives would be totally destructive. But look what I found in the book of James as we're coming in for a close. "Therefore, lay aside all" what? "Filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Praise God, praise God. You see, my friends, we can hear the word. We can say, "Praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus." But now, will you apply the word? Will you allow the word of God to transform your mind and your heart? Will you allow God to mold you and shape you through his word? You see, there's a great and wonderful hallelujah, churches, but all of it is just hallelujah. There's no teaching of the word. You need to be taught God's word. You need to know how to apply it in your life so that you would not stumble as much. We're all going to make mistakes, but we can whittle those mistakes down to a minimum. Why? Because we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. And that's what Jesus said. There's two commandments that encompass all 614. Is to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Those two hinge all the law of God and all that the prophets had mentioned. Praise God. Look what else I found, saints, right here. Look at this. In verse 23, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Let it not be mentioned of us, O saints of God." Look at Acts 5:29 here. "But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to" what? "Obey God rather than man." Praise God. Praise God. Look what Jesus said in John 14:15. "If you love me," say that with me at home, "if you love me, keep my" what? "Commandments." Praise God. And John wrote also three small little books, epistles, before you get to Revelation. Look at this. And 1 John 2:3-8. Look at this. "Now by this we know that we know him, if we" what? "Keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments," ooh, look at this. This is pretty deep. "Is a liar, and the truth is not in him." I'm so thankful that I'm just the mailman delivering this. I didn't write this. John wrote it. Praise God. Look at this. "But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you heard from the beginning. Praise God, praise God. Again, a new commandment I write to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. He knew these believers were standing firm in the truth. Standing firm in the truth is a source of spiritual strength. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed, saints? Huh? Aren't you so blessed to know that? Let me just say this. This is time to be ready, to be prepared, to know that Jesus is coming again. How many believe that he's coming again, saints of God? Oh, yes, he is. And I'm here to let you know that all you have to do is cry out to God and surrender your life to him. Oh, that's right. It's very simple. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to know that God is for us, not against us. Saints of God, what we see in the world today, what we see in the news and what we see in our culture, in the streets that we live in. You just heard earlier all these military helicopters flying around doing maneuvers. They're preparing for something that's coming. And we need to be prepared to meet the King. I believe Jesus is soon to come to take his church home. And we will be with him forevermore. My question is, are you ready? Have you surrendered your life? This is a great time to cry out to God, to ask God to save you. What I'm going to do at this moment, I'm going to ask all the Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship family that's logged in to pray with me, to pray for you. Maybe you've never given your heart to God, and maybe now it's time. It's time that you do so. It's time. It's time that you would give your heart to Christ. It's very simple. Turn from your wicked ways. Turn from darkness into his marvelous light. Cry out and say, oh God, I'm a sinner and I need you. Listen, when your heart repents to a holy God, that's when you get God's attention. And then once your heart repents and cries out for mercy and grace, then what he does, supernaturally, he cleanses you with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you've been cleansed of your sin, then the Holy Spirit comes to live inside you. It's like a down payment. It's telling you, I'm coming back for you. You will never die in your sin. Praise God. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and ask God. Ask God to save you right now. Let's pray together. Bow your heart and your head. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on. Give God a shout of praise and glory. Listen, someone just gave their heart to Christ. And if that's you, down below is our banner. Hey, why don't you log on? Reach out to us. Our email and phone number is on there. Call us. We want to put a Bible in your hand. We want to pray with you. We want to congratulate you and welcome you to the family of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also want to encourage you to come to our church and to be in the Word of God if you're living here locally. And if not, we would love to point you to a good church in your area. But get a hold of us. We want to reach out to you and bless you and help you. Praise God. Also, my friends, as you can see down below, we have been so mightily blessed by all of your donations to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. And so as you can see, donations are deeply appreciated. Well, my friends, that concludes our Bible study for this evening. I hope you were blessed. Next week, by the grace of God, we will begin with verse 13 and 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'm excited for this Sunday morning. Like I said, ladies, those mothers, grandmothers, there's a blessing for you Sunday morning. And I know you will be blessed. So with that, I want to leave our benediction and see you hopefully this Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. And so the benediction goes just like this. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His shalom, His peace. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. So, we are so blessed to come into your living rooms this evening. Look forward to seeing you this Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. We love you. God bless you. And we'll see you Sunday morning. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.